So we're here at the Guild Wars 2 booth, and I'm talking with...
Jeff Grubb, game designer, and...
Randy Price, senior vice president.
So, I know you guys can't see this, obviously, this being audio and all, but the Guild Wars 2 booth is packed right now, and I guess out of all of the things that I've read for facts and everything so far, there's one or two oddball questions that I have for you guys, and I'm not sure if you'll be able to get this one, but I know there's going to be ways of traveling, but are you guys planning on putting mounts in the game to travel around individual maps?
Go ahead, sure.
So, we have right now, we haven't talked at all really about mounts. You know that we have a system in Guild Wars 1 which is very efficient, fast travel. Our whole thing is that we don't want people to have to waste time with monotonous travel. So we have a waypoint system in Guild Wars 2 where as you explore and open up areas, you will open up waypoints and you'll be able to use those for fast travel around the game.
So basically you won't need a mount because there's not a lot of waypoints around the map?
Right, you won't need a mount in the way that you're thinking about. That's right.
Yep.
In addition, our large cities are linked by Asura Gates, which are, you know, fast travel operations as well. So basically, first level characters, when I create a char, you create a human, we can start playing together right away.
Nice.
Yeah.
I know that in Guild Wars 1, there was a limit on the number of players that you can have in a particular guild. Have you guys set a number for a limit for Guild Wars 2?
You said the number for a guild, right?
Yeah, the number for a guild.
I don't think that we've set a number yet.
And are you guys going to let people bring Guild Wars 1 names over into Guild Wars 2? Because I know you're doing it with characters.
Well, that's something we are definitely hard at work thinking about ways to tie in Guild Wars 1 to Guild Wars 2. I mean, yes, of course, you know, you hear about character names and you've heard about our Hall of Monuments, and we're about to actually release some good information about Hall of Monuments as well. We're going to do everything we can to make it nice and easy for guilds to be able to shift over to Guild Wars 2.
At this point, are you guys planning on having a collector's edition box with special goodies like a soundtrack or a mouse pad or things like that?
We're hard at work figuring out exactly how we'd like to approach that. You know, it's very traditional for a AAA game to have a collector's edition. We're fully aware that, you know, we had collector's editions with Guild Wars 1. So I'm very excited about a lot of the ideas that we're circling around right now as we're in the studio really kind of evaluating this. So just keep on the lookout.
Do you have any plans to add in-game voice chat?
Everybody's served by vent and things like that right now. I don't know that we've made a full decision on that. So we haven't made a decision yet.
How many character slots are you guys planning on putting in for us that have alt-itis?
We encourage alt-itis.
No decision on that yet either. We're still something we're talking about.
Was the decision not to have a dedicated healing class partially motivated by the desire to break from the Holy Trinity group design approach?
Oh. What we really wanted to do was basically create a playing experience for everyone. And what we found was that the Holy Trinity tank, DPS, healer, basically forced you into particular roles and then required those roles from a design end to be there. You had to have a healer to perform this mission. What we've changed that to is everyone heals. Is everybody has, everybody can, your friend is down, he's been knocked down, you can go and you can bring him back up into the fight immediately. Every character has healing ability as one of their slots. So basically, healing now becomes a play style as opposed to a requirement. I tend to run healers, I tend to run priests. That's a lot of gauge watching, you know. I'm missing cool stuff because I'm checking to make sure my homies are still okay. And this spreads it out. Because I like to do that, I'm always looking for people who are down, people who need to be brought back into the fight. That's one of the cool things about the game. And with removing that dedicated healing class, it allowed us to evaluate and say, okay, what we want to talk about is how people experience the game as opposed to forcing them into particular classes as a result of their playing style.
I am very behind this because I played a dedicated healer in World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy XI. Like, I played it all over the place, so I totally...
And you know the strengths and weaknesses of it. I've had that thing of saying, well, we couldn't run because you couldn't make it. Guilt, you know.
I got that last night, so.
Yeah.
And plus, you're so busy watching the meters, you don't ever actually see the environment.
Yes, yeah, I've encountered that more than once, so. We've done so much work to make the environment cool looking. So.
I know, you miss everything. It's so pretty, and you're like, bars. Are you guys planning on making alliances return in Guild Wars 2?
Making what?
Alliances.
Factions?
Factions.
Factions? Yeah. I don't have the answer to that one out of the top of my head.
Yeah, we haven't.
We have not made that decision. We have not had that discussion.
Are there any further details on what will be craftable with your crafting systems, like armors or weapons or potions or?
We haven't released info about crafting system yet. It's, you gotta wait. We'll release info like that in the future here.
One of the great things is that we are releasing and showing people and letting people play for the first time here at PAX. The thing is, there is much more to come. We talk about, you know, what we're going to do for craftings, what we're going to do for guilds, what we're going to do for bringing characters to the Hall of Monuments. All of this is yet to come. So right now we're just laying in with the big, heavy first guns here.
Rest assured that there are plenty of designers focused on all of that.
Yes. I don't doubt it. So from one of our listeners, Thundering Apathy, would like to know, what do you consider to be the shining jewel of Guild Wars 2? What are you most excited about with the game?
Ooh, what day is it? I mean, it literally depends on what day it is. I really love the dynamic event system. I really like being able to head across country and the world is happening around me. It's not just waiting for me, you know, to give me permission to go and attack centaurs. The centaurs are there and they are attacking. They aren't just like hanging out outside the walls and everything. So I think that's a really big component that makes me excited whenever I'm playing.
Well, in so many games, you know, it is true that so much of your activity is taken up with combat. I love Guild Wars 2 combat. I mean, it is, I guess, you know, my typical MMO experience is, you know, pressing the one key over and over again. And here, positioning matters. You have environmental weapons. You have a dynamic skill bar that you're changing up when you're changing weapons. Everything about the movement, the visceral feel of it is very powerful. And if you haven't had a chance to try it on the demo, you'll feel it. You'll feel it if you play on the demo. You spend so much time doing it, you want to love it, and it's awesome.
So in the dynamic event system, you're planning on doing a phasing system so that if I help Farmer Joe with his centaur attack problem, it doesn't make it so my friend Bob also can't help him? Or basically, does the system just keep evolving from release as it continues?
Well, our dynamic event system scales. So basically, if we have, you know, start off with one person helping Farmer Bob, and then more people join in, the event scales accordingly. And in addition, the rewards are basically spread around for everyone, as opposed to you loot the body and basically, okay, you got to decide who gets the witch bow and, you know, who gets the blue item and all the rest of it. So again, it encourages group play as opposed to individual play. So when you see another player on the screen, he's a friend as opposed to, oh my God, he's going to steal my kill. So that's a big component of our event system, is being able to handle a large number of people who arrive on the scene.
Yeah, basically, the question stems from thought of, you know, how, like, in general MMOs, you walk up and you do the quest, and then somebody else comes up and they do the quest.
Yes.
And then with the dynamic system, the question is if somebody else wants to do that quest, and I've already done it,
yeah,
is it gone forever and nobody else can do it?
No, what happens with our dynamic event system is we end up with cycles. The centaurs are attacking the garrison, and if the centaurs succeed, they have the garrison now. That kicks off a new event. Got to take the garrison back. Okay, we take the garrison back. That kicks off a new event. We've got a merchant who basically wants to go deep into centaur territory and raid an armory and bring back cool weapons. That's an escort. That's another event. You help him, you come back, and suddenly you have, for a limited time, this merchant in the garrison who's selling cooler weapons than are normally available. And then eventually the centaurs attack. So, you know, we end up with cycles of events, so you don't step in the same river twice. You basically have a living world, but a persistent world. So if you drive off the Shatterer, that doesn't end the entire Shatterer ever again. There will be others, but that's tied into events that come before it and events that lead off to it. So
that's what dynamic means.
Honestly, just I know there's a lot of folks who like to play to make sure they hit every single part, so make sure that they can actually get to them.
And there are all sorts of Easter eggs in the games, even in the demos. As you go wandering around at night, if you find your way to the graveyard, you'll find a ghost wandering around, for example. There's all sorts. It's a living world. One thing that I was discovered a few weeks ago, right before Gamescom, was that we have a farm event where basically bandits are burning the things, but we also have watering the crops. We also have feeding the cows. Help the farmer is the general thing, and we found a bag of feed, and I basically feed. Okay, feed it to the cow. Little hearts appear around the cow. They appreciate what I did. And no one told me about this. I found it in playtest. I went, oh, that's cute. You know, and that's small things and big things leading up to the huge, you know, dragon minions. So we have, basically, that's another piece of our event system, is we've got a lot of things covered in order to help create the reality of the world.
Are you guys planning on doing a kind of a system where you get, I think it's like badges in City of or Valor points or whatever, basically like I did awesome stuff, I have a badge to show that I did awesome stuff.
Achievements. Yeah, absolutely. We'll have achievements all over the game.
Now this one's a complete opinion question. What would you say to Guild Wars players who are saying that Guild Wars 2 feels too close to World of Warcraft for their liking?
Well, we've talked about two core elements so far. We've told you about dynamic events, we've told you about differences in combat. Okay, right there, those of themselves from our standpoint, when we started development of Guild Wars 2, we looked at Guild Wars 1, we looked at every MMO RPG out there, we looked at the broader games that we can play, and we just, you know, we kind of wanted to say, what are the things that we love, what are the things that we don't like? And you know, we've always been about innovation. We feel like our dynamic event system is a crazy step forward. We feel like our combat's a crazy step forward. And we haven't even talked about our personal storytelling. We are within this persistent, open, dynamic world. We tell your story, your hero's story, as you play through the world and as you make choices that impact your character, impact the way the world affects for you. And every decision that you make will spin off and branch off different elements of that storyline. So I think that's yet another component to it, this personal storytelling. It's not an anonymous, I'm just a cog in a monster machine. It is personal to you. You play a role bringing the five races together to battle against the Elder Dragons. And that happens from the very beginning of the game in character creation. Character creation isn't, it is gloriously beautiful as to how you can customize your character, but there's a whole other element that actually is the story element, my personal biography. You go through a series of questions, and you'll do this in the demo. Go through a series of questions that actually open up new story paths for you, and that's just the start. You'll face life and death situations, moral dilemmas, things that you'll make choices, and for you, that's permanence within the game world.
I think you've already answered the other question, which is, what is Guild Wars 2 offer that other MMOs don't?
Oh, wow. The big three that we talk about are the dynamic event system, the personalized story, the story of you, and what Randy was talking about earlier, this visceral combat, this idea that position matters, the fact you can roll out of the way, that you feel very active in combat. You'll see in a lot of our skills, it's not just, you know, firing a fireball, it's firing a phoenix that basically strikes three targets and then comes back and heals you. We've got very epic, very, you know, exciting things that make you feel good when you're in combat, since a lot of time spent in MMOs is in combat. One reason people feel it's a bit of a grind is you're hitting the same buttons. You're getting the same results. The fact that, you know, that our professions interact.
Yes, I noticed that in the video. Like, it looked like one would cast something, somebody else would cast something, and they'd mix.
Randy's Elementalist casts a wall of fire. My warrior basically uses his spinning axes to go through it, and suddenly my axes are shooting fireballs out for an area of effect as opposed to a line. And that's the type of thing that we're looking at, to see those interactions, again, encourage cooperative play without requiring cooperative play. You get a Benny, it gets really cool.
Guild Wars 2 has all that social aspects that people love about MMOs. And yet, if you want, you can solo the game.
That's impressive, that's really impressive. Are you guys putting rewards in for completing dungeons? You go through, you finish it, and all of a sudden, bam, you get awesome prize of awesomeness at the end of it.
Yeah, there's awesome rewards throughout the game, whether it's equipment or various types of points that will play into how you choose your equipment too. You're gonna have all sorts of cool stuff.
Yes, but we have not really, again, so the dungeons are not something we have addressed as much as the other materials, so that's in the category of cool stuff to come.
Do you have a set time scale for revealing the remaining four professions? You know how everybody is with, can I have stuff?
Yes.
And by the way, it's also a plan. And so basically, we're aware that other things that come in, that's one reason we don't tell people, so they aren't saying, it's Wednesday, 12.
Refresh, refresh.
Yeah, is it up? No.
We need to orchestrate it just right, you know. Yeah. And we love it too. I mean, come on, you have to remember, we love being able to put the polish and shine on a profession and be able to show it off to everybody. And the reaction we get from people when they get to see the videos about it, that's a fun experience for us as well. We want to do it. We want to do that very nicely for our fans too. So,
I will admit that when something goes live on our site, we keep an eye on the forums that day. We keep it up and operating. Oh, refresh.
Are you guys planning on doing special in-game events like Winter's Day returning or something along those lines?
Yeah, we'll have lots of stuff like that. I'll tell you, that's been one of the coolest parts for me about Guild Wars 1. I mean, if there's any time that I haven't played it, I'll go back and I'll jump into Winter's Day, Halloween, all those kinds of things. Those are very cool social places where people's nostalgia comes back. Wow, I got the special giveaway that happened, 4 years in a row, and coming on back for that that's a very cool part of the game. So we'll.
Another thing that ties in with that is it's an excuse for people to get back online, to get back together, and it's like holding a little bit mini con where everybody gets online at the same time. And you're right. It basically, one of the reasons is we're a no subscription game. We are basically you play the game, and it makes it easier to re-engage with us. You play Guild Wars, and life gets in the way, and you walk away from it for a little while, and you can come back. And there's no subscription. There's no sign out. It'll be waiting for you. We're keeping that for GW2 as well, and because that's one of the things that makes it Guild Wars.
Now, this is from one of our listeners, Nemo. He asks, regarding the Necromancer, can you elaborate on the minion's life system? For example, does their health degenerate? Are they only around for a certain amount of time, or are they basically there till they're killed or used by their owner?
They basically do degenerate over time. But they also have an effect on the skill board where you can blow them up for something cool. For example, the one in the number 6 slot, the Necromancer healing ability, creates a healing minion, which sort of floats behind you. And when it attacks, it heals you. Or you can hit the number 6 button again. You could hit it again, and it'll blow up, and it'll heal you for even more. So basically, yes, it will, but there's a tendency to want to utilize these once they come on play.
Will you be replicating the armor and weapon systems in Guild Wars, with max level weapons and armor being easily attainable for the PvE players who aren't necessarily PvP oriented?
Even you can tell here that we're showing off PvE. PvE is a huge component of the game. People kind of forget that about Guild Wars 1 even. The Guild Wars 1 is a massive PvE game, and we have millions of PvE fans. So we've got PvE is going to be a huge part of it. You're going to be able to have the great kind of success you want to have in it. The basic answer is yes. Don't forget though, PvP is an extremely solid part of the game that we're going to have a lot of information coming out in the future about that as well.
The one question I would have is, is it going to be consensual, like arena-type-based PvP, or are you going to be going with non-consensual PvP?
Well, I'll kind of tell you the limited amount that we're saying today about it. So there's two types of PvP that we'll have in the game. We have a competitive PvP that's essentially 5-on-5, take your character into it, but then it gets strategically balanced, so everybody has a level playing field. It's about skill. We also have world PvP that is going to pit your server against two other worlds. So your world versus two other worlds, and you'll have epic battles over a week-long period. Battlegrounds, sieges, be able to take siege weapons against castles. You'll have incredible entourages that happen where you'll have you could have 100 versus 100 battle, or there may be even parts within that epic time that you'll be smaller groups skirmishing as well.
Very much for your time.
Thank you. That's great.
Hey. Oh, I'd
love to. You want
to
play?
Oh, yeah, I would.
Kick your buddy off.
Chaotica is kicking villain off of Guild Wars.